I'd like to call the committee to order, please. This is the December 3rd, 2019 meeting of the Economic Development, Tourism, Housing, Planning, and Transit Committee. And we'll begin tonight's meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I'm thinking ahead. You are.
I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Nettie, would you please call the roll?
Sure. Legislator DeLong?
Yes.
Legislator Litz?
Here.
Legislator Mayo?
Here.
Legislator Archer?
Here.
Legislator Maloney? Legislator Rodriguez?
Present.
Okay. Legislator Waltman?
Here. Okay, and the next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from the November 7th, 2019 meeting.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion on the minutes? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor of approving the minutes?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passed unanimously. Okay, we're going to start off. Carol Hargrove from UCAT is joining us tonight, and she's going to have a little something to say to us.
Thank you, Chairman, and to the committee. I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank you. I'm not sure if everybody's aware I'm retiring at the end of the year, and I just want to take the opportunity to thank you, the legislative staff on this committee, for always supporting and being there for us at Ulster County Area Transit. I mean, I'm going to miss it, but it's time for me to move on. I always want to do a lot of volunteer work, so I'll be able to do that. But I just wanted to say thank you to many of you I've known for years and worked with you for years and to have done a lot of projects. And you've always been very supportive of all the resolutions, everything. We've accomplished so much in the 20 years that I've been there, and it's been a wonderful ride for me. So I just want to take the opportunity to say thank you very, very, very much. Mm-hmm. And in that, I did bring you a farewell gift. So I've enlightened you. So you have to open it up, pull out the battery thing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I want to take this opportunity to thank you.
Absolutely.
I was going to say, number one, you're closing Wachashkas really. That the joke's simply because the previous director that she served under was very big on Wachashkas. And one of the things, like, you know, Carol, I remember when we started together 16 years ago now, or, how long it's been at this point. And, people forget how much you've done for the department and, what you've done in terms of efficiency, but also just how you worked your way up. And I think that's something that is pretty special, that you were able to sort of build that career, solely, from here and in Ulster County. So, thank you.
Thank you. It's been a good ride. I've had a lot of great guidance and a lot of support, not only from this legislative staff and committee, but also from a lot of the department heads and from the executive offices. I've had a lot of support. So, like I say, it's been a wonderful ride. And yes, I started a long time ago as a part-time driver on Saturday. It's been a long
wonderful. Carol, if I could just say, too, I really want to express my appreciation for the help you with the city this year in expanding the transit service mm-hmm. into the city of Kingston and the adjustments we made with that, along with that. You were tremendous to work with, and I'm very appreciative of the way and the success that it's proven.
Enjoy.
And we owe a lot of that to you, and wish you the very best for a very happy and pleasant retirement.
All right, thank you so
you're
very
here.
Much.
You're here.
Next Monday night is when we're going to do the feedback and the fair structure public meeting at UCAP between 5 and 6. It's open,
working till the end.
Working till the end, yes. Sometimes you work until probably 6 o'clock on the
31st.
5:45. Let her go early.
Thank you very,
good
very
luck.
Much.
Thank
I don't
enjoy
have any resolutions.
Thank you, Carol.
Well, you'll have a New Year's resolution,
yes,
I'm sure you will. That's wonderful. Thank you. I guess we're going to move on. I'm going to ask that we shift a few of these resolutions while we have some people, if we don't mind. We have Information Service Alan Macluso is here, and he has a few resolutions on our agenda tonight. So I'd like to, if we could, move to resolution number 566, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county for Computer Professionals International Incorporated, more commonly referred to as CPI, and ask for information services. So can I get a motion for that?
Second.
Second. Any discussion?
So this is, we're entering a new contract that we're finishing off the contract for this year. Next year, we expect to have some additional services. We're planning on a switch upgrade, a countywide, potential data center move as well. They bring a lot of expertise to the table around networking. They help us design the network that we have currently. And so, especially the network that ties the county buildings together and that ties the law enforcement center with information services. If we move, there's a lot of moving parts to that, and they bring a lot of expertise to the table on that, and then we hope to leverage their expertise in that space. And some other server moves as well that come along with that.
Great. Any discussion from legislators on this? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. All those approved in favor? All
aye,
in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? I'm
in favor.
Aye. Okay, that's 566. Now, not to give you all whiplash, but I'm gonna we're gonna adjust our agenda again because we're joined here now by Thomasine Oliphant.
Yeah.
Thomasine is resolution number 531. Confirming the appointment of Thomasine Oliphant as Director of Department of Employment and Training. And Lisa Berger and Thomasine are joining us at the table. So can I get a...
I'll move it.
And it's
I'll
there
second.
A second.
Second.
Okay. Please,
sure. Real quick. I did not ask Thomasine to come here until this morning, so she juggled around a lot. She's actually still... She's not starting for Ulster County until next week, doing orientation on Monday. So she's still working at her other job and was scheduled to be there till 7. So she juggled some things and got here as quickly as she could.
I'll be gentle, Mark.
Any discussion from legislators? Lisa, do you have anything you wanted to add? Or?
The outgoing director of the Office of Employment and Training, I couldn't be more delighted with the putting that the county executive has put Thomasine's name forward. She has impressed me as somebody who is passionate about caring for people, making sure that they achieve their own success. And she is in her very short career tirelessly worked in that capacity, and has increased job after job her level of both responsibility and oversight. And I know that this department is being left in the hands of someone who will just continue to do terrific work in that department. And outreach, and I know that you're going to impact and improve communities. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. So, any other discussion from legislators on Resolution 531? Mm-hmm. Legislator Rodriguez.
Just a student of care to the candidate. So, you know, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. I was born and raised in Long Island. I went to SUNY Suffolk Community College, so I'm a community college graduate, and I earned my bachelor's and master's degree from SUNY Stony Brook. I grew up in a low-income home, so I was economically disadvantaged. So this work is very important for me personally and professionally. Most of my career I've done case management, but case management not just working with adults, children, and families with accessing resources in the community, just, you know, access to healthcare, but also employment opportunities, also housing. And so over time, with my experience also in public health and social work, I've noticed disparities of health, you know, and social determinants of health, which housing and employment and healthcare are the main things. I'm passionate about connecting youth and adults to employment opportunities because in my work, I've worked in Ulster County for most of my career up in the Hudson Valley, and I have noticed that lack of employment and lack of housing have been major barriers for persons, youth and adults. So in this role, with my leadership experience, I was regional director before for the Adoptive Foster Family Coalition. That I was given an RFP on paper, and I helped to build that program. also at Dutchess Community College. That program had, I helped to launch that program as well. And the president of the college just told me today that I exceeded her expectations of the program. They just gave me a send-off. So I believe in every grant that I've worked with, I've always met the numbers of families or youth served. I've always worked to ensure that all the youth or the adults that I've worked with, that they have a connection to appropriate resources. I've also done a lot of work in the community, being a part of coalitions. And also at my work at Dutchess Community College, I've brought resources onto campus. So I build partnerships with businesses such as Central Hudson so that students will have access to Central Hudson's resources, also job opportunities on site, and bringing social services on site as well.
Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, and thank you for giving us sort of, you know, the overview of you. I won't hold it against you that you're from Long Island. but one of the things that, unfortunately, in politics, you'll sort of see, you know, that there's a lot of advertising of like, oh, well, you know, unemployment, you know, is at a record low. And it's because, you know, you have X number of people who have stopped searching, X number of people who are working two jobs, you know, and so, you know, that's partly where, as much as politicians love to talk about unemployment, part of our problem here in Ulster County, and I'm sure this is probably something you may even be more versed than I, or even this body, in, is that, you know, we have consistent sort of underemployment, or you've got a lot of folks who are, now, in employment and training, it's not like as if somehow you're in the front end of economic development, but, you know, but do you have anything in your experience where you've been able to sort of, you know, connect additional either job trainings or being able to sort of like work with, you know, sort of this body in terms of different skills that we sort of see going forward that might be able to sort of provide, you know, more realistic incomes to be able to survive here in Ulster County?
Well, in my work at Dutchess, I did host for the youth development program. We did partner with Career Services to provide soft skills training for students. So is that the question that you're asking?
I mean it's in that vein, but go ahead, why don't you finish?
Yeah, so we put soft skills and job skills training to and also a resume workshop as well to help them to create resumes and also build those soft skills and preparation for employment opportunities.
Okay. That stuff's important too,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but
yeah.
It's just, you know, there are a lot of different agencies that sort of do parts of that work. So I'm just curious as to like what your sort of thoughts are heading into the job, if there's anything that you want to add to that.
Partnering with different agencies.
Okay.
You mean?
Well, I mean, partnering with different agencies. I mean, this is sort of one of those answer it, you know, sort of as you fit. You could have easily just gone and said, well, there's stuff that I want to work with, you know, with different employers on, or sort of see where,
oh, yes,
where the
definitely.
Needs are, or, you know, but I just want to sort of see where your head is at.
Oh, yes, definitely. And also, even internship opportunities or any sometimes even volunteer and internship opportunities can lead to something bigger for people. So just having that opportunity to be able to at least have a foot in the door with some type of experience.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Any other questions from legislators? Legislator Petit.
Yeah, I'm not on the committee, but we are looking at getting more diversity into our county workforce.
Yeah.
And have any of your programs ever focused around, getting everyone from the community to come in and or prepare them for civil service exams, or just so we can accomplish that in the county, working through our personnel department and your office?
I haven't had experience, but, you know, I have worked a lot with our chief diversity officer at the college and doing different programs. So, I mean, and also being a person of color, I believe that I also have an advantage of helping with that initiative.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous.
Welcome
Very
aboard.
Good.
Thank
Welcome.
You.
Thank you.
And that's how that
Thank
is.
Thank you so much.
The
Appreciate it.
A couple of gum.
Excellent. Thank you.
There you
now,
go. Come on, 50. You can come back on the table.
Pull the committee back. We have a lot to get through tonight. I'm going to go back to Resolution 567, if we could. So, Alan, you're back in the batter's box. This is Resolution 567, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, Trapeze Software Group Incorporated, Information Services. Can I?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Alan?
Sure. So this is the auto renew for UCAT fleet software, scheduling software, and maintenance for that software. This is used by Area Transit for bus scheduling and routes and track ridership, fees collected, et cetera, et cetera. So it's essentially just an extension, a renewal of the contract we have with Trapeze to continue the service.
Excellent. Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, for anybody, I guess, you know, sort of just going forward, someone may ask you this question. I don't know who it will be, but how many renewals does this make?
Let's see. The system was purchased initially in 2010 using some transportation monies. So,
yeah. So, I mean, and you know, while I realize in this particular instance, it's a bit of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But, you know, just sort of, you know, as a matter of course, you know, we often, or more specifically I, would ask your predecessor as to, like, and I think even you a couple of times, with regards to how many times we've gone and amended a certain contract, just to be, when are we going out to bid?
Right.
When are we sort of, you know, at a certain point, unfortunately, in county government, we have a tendency sometimes to kind of continue to do the same thing because we've just always done it that way.
Understood. Yes. I mean, I presumably have to work with UCAT and leadership to make sure that this is.
I mean, I wasn't in the room for the last one, but I'm just, you know, in this particular instance, I also get that this is a fairly unique software and it's also been working really well for a number of years. So, in this particular instance, I'm always
amenable to, you know, looking at alternatives, but obviously in this case, you know, there's some.
This is like the Ethernet Amendment.
Right.
Ethernet Amendment.
Correct. Yeah.
Any other discussion from other legislators? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, passed unanimously. Next resolution is resolution number 568, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, RTB Incorporated, doing business as Continuum Systems Information Services.
Okay.
Second.
Alan, please.
So this is an amendment for the one-year extension of OnBase software support and maintenance. This is the enterprise document management system that it's used countywide. Particularly, it's used for the financial system where we scan and things like invoices, POs, etc. It's also used for archival purposes from the county clerk, where when they have to offload stuff. Digitize some of the documentation and create space on their shelves. It gets digitized. So this is a continuation of that contract.
Okay.
And what was the last one went out to bid?
Let's see. This was purchased in 2009.
Okay.
Initially.
So this is the 8th, 9th amendment.
Glad
we
can count tonight.
We built some automation around this as well. So there's some dependencies that are kind of similar. We have to tease them out, so there's some automation that's built in with workflows and scanning processes.
If I could ask Alan on this, at some point, when does it make sense to go back out for bid and test the market on something like this?
Good question. I mean, it's a tough call. I mean, there's a lot of this. We have a lot of, we have a lot of workflow that depends on this document management, integrations with the financial system, which is also unique. We've built some customizations where it would be quick. When you go into the financial system and you click on the invoice number, that actually launches a client that actually brings the documents out of OnBase so that you can actually review them as a PDF. Those are some integrations that we have to understand how to replicate that. So that, you know, in a similar way, we kind of built this framework and standard, like, an operating procedures that around it that we have to investigate.
So it's difficult to extricate ourselves from this.
It is difficult. I wouldn't say it's impossible, but it would be difficult.
I see.
And in some of this, we leverage some expertise out of, like, Dutchess County when they had a similar. They also used New World Financial Systems and OnBase, and there was some. We leveraged some of their expertise in that space. So. We'd have to investigate how challenging it would be to replicate this.
Thank you. Any further discussion from legislators on the resolution? Okay, I call for a vote on resolution 568. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? I'm in favor. Aye. You pass unanimously. Thank you, Alan. And while we're going to stay at the bottom of our agenda, because I see we're joined by Rick Remsnyder from Department of Tourism, and he has one resolution on our agenda tonight. So we're going to go, Rick, if you don't mind. I know you didn't get a chance to go to the driving range or warm up or anything, but we're taking you right out of the car to get this. So we appreciate that. So this resolution 569, approving the execution of a contract amendment in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, Cubic Incorporated. Can I get a motion?
Second.
Okay. Discussion. Actually, Rick will if you can give us a brief overview of this, and then we'll get into the discussion.
This will be the legislature approves it. It'll be the fourth year that we've worked with Cubic. I've been very happy with their work. It's a full service agency out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. We did do an RFP over the summer. There were seven other firms. We had a committee of five people. Two of the people were from the Tourism Advisory Board, Anna Markowitz, the County Executive's Office, myself, my deputy, Brandy Petrillo. After reviewing all the proposals from eight of the agencies, Cubic's work was superior, head and shoulders above all the others, and this one, I would love to continue to work with them. I'm sure you've seen some of our ads that we've run. They just do amazing work. You can see them in the elevator and throughout the building. They do fantastic creative. Our website, they've helped redesign the website. I really think it's a terrific website. The numbers have gone up each year. And I know I presented to the committee last year that, last meeting, that tourism spending in Ulster County in 2018 increased 11%. It was up to $654 million. And I think that a lot of the work that we've done building our brand with this agency has certainly contributed to that. Also, the occupancy tax is up more current, 2019, 22%. I don't know what the third quarter is. But I don't think it's any accident that our agency has contributed to that. So I'd be happy to entertain any other questions.
Okay, real quick, I'm going to go to Deputy Executive Mark Ryder.
So this is the last amendment that on this contract. We did go out to RFP this summer, but we chose to extend the current contract, and we'll go back out to we did not award that RFP. We're going to go back out next year, but this is the last and final amendment, if approved.
Okay. Legislator Rodriguez.
All right. So thank you, Mr. Chair. Firstly, through the chair to the tourism director, I mean, since you're under oath, what is your handicap?
It's an eight.
Coincidentally, so was mine.
So again, through the chair to the director. You know, previously, and you know, just you know, for the record, I'm going to vote for this. Having met, you know, previously several times, the Cubic Group. You know, I always jokingly say they have the Don Draper of Oklahoma. Works with them. He is that sort of that guy who does presentations. And but previously, though, this committee actually has been provided information from the other potential candidates. You know, we I think had that probably about 4 years ago. I think it was 4 years ago, or is it even 6 years ago? The years blend together.
Well, we had an agency for 6 years, and they ended 4 years ago.
Yeah, so because I remember that we actually had I think some of the other proposals actually brought to the committee. So I don't know if maybe in January or something like that, whenever this committee reconvenes, you know, you can share that with the legislature so that way folks actually understand some of the thought process as to what you guys were going through.
Happy to do that.
Thank you.
Excellent. Any other questions or comments from other legislators? And then I'll call for a vote. Resolution 569, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? I'm in favor. I'll pass unanimously. Great. Thank you. Thank you, Rick. And not a lot of golf around here lately. We have instant winter. Okay, you know what? I hope you guys don't mind, but we're going to bounce all around this agenda.
It's hard to find everything.
Yeah. We're going to go to Resolution 538, because I think we have a few in a row here, three in a row here from the Department of Planning. So we'll go to Resolution 538 while we have our planning staff here. Resolution 538, reappointing member to the Ulster County Planning Board, Town of Woodstock.
Move it. Second.
Any discussion?
Getting
close. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. 538. Resolution 538 is passed. On to Resolution 539, issuing determination and findings pursuant to eminent domain procedure law for the Ulster County Midtown Linear Park, PIN number 8761.82 in the City of Kingston Department of Planning. Can I get a motion?
Move it. Second.
Dennis or Chris? Or Chris, are you going to speak to this? Chris White, please?
Yeah, this is the follow-up resolution from the public hearing that we did on November 12th. Most of you were in attendance at that hearing where we did a brief overview of the project, the public interest served by the project, and the very unique circumstance in which we find ourselves with right-of-way. As many of you know, we have to acquire, we have to basically clear title on 11 right-of-way parcels, and the attorney Bob Cook from our outside law firm talked a little bit about the unique nature of that. Those deeds go back into the 1870s. Some of them are actually in the name of the estate of the people that built the railroad, the Cornell family. So what we're doing is consolidating the county's interest. We've owned this for 40 years. This determination and findings does two things. One, it allows us to proceed forward with right-of-way acquisition, and it also meets the conditions of our federal grant. We've received $1.5 million in federal funding, and this is one of the requirements. And we did the same thing on the Kingston Rail Trail and the Hudson Valley Rail Trail. And if you have any questions, I'm glad to.
Legislator Litz, please.
Yes. I notice in the resolves, I know it's this one, where you have listed the alternatives that were discussed, and no alternative, null alternative, alternate A, alternate B. What's the purpose of listing those alternatives in this resolution?
I did this based on the template that we received from the right-of-way specialist that we used for the Hudson Valley Rail Trail in the town of Lloyd. You're supposed to talk about what the project is, where it's located, and why you chose a particular location or alternative. So the reason I listed that was just to show that there really wasn't another corridor in which we could do it, but there was a slight deviation between A and B. And you always just put the null in this basically comes right out of the design document that we did for the New York State DOT. So a quick answer is it's just based on the template that we received years ago from the specialist.
But those alternates only deal with how much track is going to come up. Which has nothing to do with this proposal or with this resolution.
Well, both alternatives are on the same corridor, and the only difference was whether or not we removed an additional 800 to 1,100 feet of track at the end of the project on the western end.
Right.
We are going with alternative B, which leaves the railroad in place. And so I'm just merely reciting what alternatives we explored so that if this was to be challenged, we meet the conditions of the eminent domain procedure law, which is an explanation of what alternatives you actually consider. So this, again, is directly out of, they're very minor deviations. Like, you may remember with the Hudson Valley Rail Trail, we actually had different alignments that we could run upon. Mm-hmm. Originally, we were going to run right down Route 299, and we looked at that alternative, and it simply wasn't as nice a trail. And so we went with the alignment that took it and went along the old rail bed that we reacquired. So this is much less dramatic in terms of the difference between alternative A and B, but nonetheless, you typically put in your alternatives that you looked at, even if it's just minor variation.
Legislator Rodriguez, please. I'm sorry.
No, let him finish.
Well, I mean, I'm intimately involved or familiar with the DOT's process of putting in design alternates for 42 years. And typically what you do is you discuss the alternates. The null alternate A may be going off in this direction. The alternate B may be a modification that goes off in this direction. And I understand all of that. But your alternatives here don't talk about going in a different location or doing something different. These alternatives only deal with how much track is going to be removed.
Yeah, but by necessity, if you don't remove the track, it changes where you put the trail. So in alternative A, that would have removed all of the track on the existing rail bed, and basically the trail would have been where the train is right now. Alternative B swings that out slightly to the south and has it kind of a setback off of the tracks. So it does physically change the alignment. Again, it's not as dramatic as that first instance in the town of Lloyd, for instance, but
right. It
is a physical change to...
I understand that now that it's been explained,
yeah. But
to a person reading this resolution, it's totally not there.
Yeah.
I would suggest you reword this so that you can say exactly what you said. Alternate A would put the trail, the west end of the trail, where the existing track is, which is north of the existing temporary. Alternate B would remove some of the track, but would follow the temporary trail that's already out there. So that people who read this resolution understand the differences between the two, because to a lay person that's reading this, it just says we're going to remove 1,000 feet of rail, and an alternate B is we're leaving the rail in place except for the 300 feet proposed for removal based on future legislative determinations on the matter. So I think you need to clear up the wording there on the alternatives, especially since it's in the resolution and not in the whereas.
It's in the resolve, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
In the resolve. And the other thing is I believe there's a track meeting coming up next week, and then you'd be able to put in this resolution what the outcome was, so...
Yeah,
and you could pick the preferred alternate, which is typically what happens in a design process.
We did pick the preferred alternate. The preferred alternate is alternate B. The only question that would follow after the track committee is whether or not the legislature wants that last 300 feet to remain as a storage area for cars or wants to clear the sightline distances.
Mm-hmm.
Please understand what this is. This isn't the design report. We can
Correct.
Go back and change this in the design report, and the design report is the public document that backs this up. Along with this determination and findings, you have all of the publication notices that we did that are required by eminent domain.
Mm-hmm.
You have the full final design report that is now being reviewed by DOT, and we can easily
mm-hmm.
change that on the design report to make
mm-hmm.
that common sense clarification that you just talked about. What you're doing here is basically formulaic. It's passing the determination and findings so that we can just move forward in the project itself.
Right.
It's not in itself choosing the alternative.
Although it does state that it is the preferred alternate, is alternate B.
That's
which I'm not sure
based
who...
Based on the design document, yeah.
Based on... maybe you should put that, because when I read that, it's... the preferred alternate picked by the legislature.
If I may, just this is in reference to the findings and determination, and a lot of the data that, or the detail that you're looking at is
mm-hmm.
actually in those findings and determination.
Along with maps and descriptions.
So all of that comes out in that findings and determination. So
and if finding and determination is for the eminent domain process.
And
which,
also the funding.
Which these tracts are within the county right away, and I don't know why it's going to require eminent domain to be brought into this west end of the tract.
I think the only thing I was trying to get across, Legislative List, is that the detail that you're talking about in the resolution is actually in, the resolution is passing the findings and determination. That detail is in the findings and determination rather than putting the entire findings and determination in the resolution.
You know, and the question you raised about eminent domain was answered by the attorney Bob Cook at the hearing itself on the 12th. He explained that in typical circumstances, you would find the owner of property or a property interest, even if it's a residual property interest. You would evaluate that, appraise it, and offer, you know, if I'm buying your land, I'd offer you whatever the fair market value is. In this circumstance, we already own the corridor as a right-of-way, but in 11 parcels, we own most of it in fee, but in 11 small parcels, we only own it as a right-of-way for rail purposes only. So it's so the ownership beyond that easement goes all the way back to the people who sold it to the railroad in the 1870s. So there's literally no one to even talk to about it. And that's why
I understand all of that. What I'm trying to ascertain is none of those parcels have rail on it. The eminent domain process is to acquire those pieces of property. Herzog's probably does.
But that's not correct. Half of them still have rail on them. Like there's one of these is 0.03 acres, and it's immediately adjacent to Wonderly's. And we have to, that's in the old rail yard. That has three sets of tracks on that part of the rail yard. So it.
And whether we acquire that property by eminent domain or not, I don't think impinges upon the fact that it has track on it or not. It doesn't.
No, I'm not.
The eminent domain process is not tied to where rail is.
We didn't say it was, but it is tied to us being able to spend federal highway dollars on a project to convert the railroad bed into a rail trip. So they require, if you can't say that every one of your acquisitions is de minimis, meaning that every one of them is less than a quarter acre and they're only a certain fraction of a person's property, you have to go through this. So we went through this with the Hudson Valley Rail Trail. You remember in that circumstance we negotiated successfully with the four owners and never had it employed us. So,
and I was the sponsor of that resolution.
No,
there was not one mention of rail on those properties.
There was no rail on that property, though.
You're proving my point.
The
eminent domain process has nothing to do with whether there's rail or not on the property.
What would you like us to do with this resolution?
Your alternatives only speak to rail. How many feet of rail are on the property?
We can easily add a sentence in that says that has an impact on the final alignment of the trail. I'm happy to offer a sentence on each of those. I think it would now not be consistent with your final design document, so it would probably be wiser to just change that in the final design document.
Legislative List, if I may. The tendency on this discussion tends to get lost in the detail rather than look at what we're trying to accomplish. We're trying to accomplish a resolution that approves of findings and determination. And if we look at the findings and determination, the question is are the resolves consistent with that? And it is the detail that you're requesting in that findings and determination. And the key to findings and determinations is the public benefit issue associated with it. I would think that we have another resolution coming up after this that has perhaps some of the similar discussions that we're having now with respect to detail. But the findings of determination, I believe, are quite, it's a lot simpler and a lot cleaner and a lot easier to understand if what the legislature did is adopt the findings of determination as written.
Which is my point exactly when I started this conversation. Because in the resolve, it notes three possible alternatives. One alternative does nothing, the null alternative. Alternate A would remove 1,100 feet of track. That is in the resolution, to remove 100 or 1,100 feet of track. Alternate B would retain at least 800 of the 1,100, leaving the removal of 300 feet of track. This resolution should not speak to the removal of track. Several years ago, we had, I think it was Resolution 488 that spoke that the legislature has to determine and vote on a separate resolution to remove any track from this corridor. I don't want this resolution to be in conflict with our past resolution. So the track committee should meet. A determination should be made as to how much track can come up or not come up. And then the track committee should make a recommendation on what the preferred alternate should be. But in accordance with this resolution, if we pass it as is, that determination has already been made.
The determination has not been made. It very clearly states that the project may reduce or eliminate the 300 remaining feet of track proposed for removal based on future legislative determinations on the matter. I have provided this committee 3 months ago a very detailed letter signed by me saying that I will conform to whatever decision the track committee and this legislature makes on it.
Mm-hmm.
You are not choosing the alternative of taking out or not taking out the 300 feet in this.
Uh-huh.
You're simply passing a determination and findings.
For eminent domain, which has nothing to do with how much track we take out. Which is why I don't think it belongs in this resolution.
So what if we were to take out the words, would remove the track? I don't know how you can describe a project without saying precisely what you're going to do. So we would have to say you're taking the tracks out, because otherwise how could you build the trail in that area?
What you could do is, because the three alternates talk about the location of where the track will be. Null alternatives do nothing. Alternative A would have the new Midtown rail trail travel the existing rail corridor. That's alternate A.
Why don't we simply...
Alternate B would follow the existing track corridor until... once you get past the underpass or the overpass, would then follow the temporary one as opposed to the existing one. And it has nothing to do with track. It really doesn't. It's the location of the trail. Alternate A, alternate B is the location of the trail.
I'm fine with that, but this was part of the design document, so I don't know what you do by changing this. Like, if we change this, this is going through our attorneys. So our attorney, who does eminent domain and determination and findings, may have to defend this.
I'd like to look at the alternatives as they're written in the design document, because I don't believe it ties to
it. It's all in here.
We provided the
Deputy Executive,
the map, the right-of-way list.
Ryder, please. Deputy Executive Ryder.
With all due respect.
Yes.
Do you know where it is?
I gave you.
No, I mean, like, do you know where it is within
it?
Yeah.
I'm sure they all have it electronically. We scanned everything. We submitted this many weeks ago.
I did.
You know, and it's every. Look, these are very minor details. And the major detail is I'm not somehow trying to take away your ability to make a determination on that 300 feet. I'll give you my word, you know.
It says it right here.
I swear to God.
It says it in the resolution, and I just want to make a point that there's a tendency for these kind of resolutions that we need to go in and change every single detail. We put all of these resolutions through outside counsel, specialists in eminent domain, and others who help us draft these either through templates or actually drafting the resolutions, and I'm concerned that every time we come to this committee or that committee that these, and in the past it's been in the whereas, which is fine because you're not necessarily changing the actual results, but when we start changing the results from what has come out of counsel's office, I start to get concerned, and I would request that it goes to a vote kind of as written.
I mean, no offense, Mark, but the one thing that I would feel comfortable doing, and I hope that this would somewhere meet you in the middle, Legislator Litz, I don't want to change this language, but I would be happy to entertain any kind of additional language that you would want that highlights why that is. You know, like that in alternative A, the track would remove this because the trail would run along that area. In alternative B, the track would remain and would run it essentially on or near the alignment of the interim.
Legislator Archer, please.
Well, here's what I'm a little, and I'm trying to follow this so that I understand, but if you go into the paragraph before it, it says, the location was selected as it creates a direct and safe off-road connection between Midtown Kingston and the Kingston. So, I mean, I think, and it also says that no determination for the remaining 300 feet would be removed until it came before the legislature. So, in the context, and I went through all those documents, all of that was kind of laid out, the design, everything. So I'm a little confused as to what is precluding us from moving forward on this. What am I missing, Legislator Litz, that says that there's a problem here? I'm struggling to look for it and understand it.
The eminent domain process is to acquire property. It's not to acquire rail. It's to acquire property necessary to build a project.
Uh-huh.
The descriptions of the alternates do not talk about anything other than removal of rail. It just does not seem to be appropriate. The alternatives in the state process gives you, for instance, out here, the alternative A was no. Alternative B may be a roundabout. Alternative C may be signalization with widening of the intersection. And then you go through your narrative. Alternate A does not meet the requirements of improving the traffic situation. Alternate B, the roundabout does this, that, and the other thing, has its pros and cons. Widening the intersection with traffic signaling does not improve it to a level above C. And then you pick your preferred alternate. None of it talks about what type of pavement you're going to use or what type of flagstone you're going to use for the roundabout. It just seems that the eminent domain procedure is to acquire land.
Right. And why, and the reason for the specific location of the land, which is Roman numeral number 2, which is where those descriptors are embedded underneath. So that's why I'm trying to understand. We're talking about a location and land and why we're doing eminent domain. And to me, this is part of the preliminary findings as to why it's in this
specific spot for the following reasons. If I'm missing something, help me, because I really am struggling.
Let's ask Legislator Nolan to...
Yeah, so I take the Legislator Litz's points and think that if those the design documents had been written to just use geographic markers, it would have had a clarity that he is suggesting. But I think at this point in the process, the language that is there with the language above that Legislature Archer just pointed out is clear enough that the project is going to go in a certain direction, and if W. White can add that language in there, I think it will help. It probably is relevant to the public that Alternative B removes less track, and so it's a way that people have talked about it. It does add some information. It is potentially confusing in the way that Legislator Litz said that the eminent domain is not to do that.
Uh-huh.
But I think it is an accurate description of the differences in the project. So I would say that, you know, we would be setting things backwards to try to rewrite this at this point, and it doesn't require it because both the design documents and the rest of the resolution make it clear.
Deputy White, please.
Just maybe this would help, too, to give it some context. Like, if you look at your resolve, right, there's three major points, right? The first one is the public use and benefit. So we're talking, it's basically the why, because you have to explain, if you're going to use eminent domain, why is it in the public interest? What does it actually achieve? Am I just making myself rich, or am I making the community better? Number two, and these come right out of the eminent domain section 202 of the law, or 207. The second one is the approximate location for the proposed public project and the reasons for selection of that. So the way that we worded this was to say, look, this connects Midtown Kingston with the city's only supermarket. That's kind of important. And the alternatives discussion, Legislator Litz, was more to inform the public that we had two choices. One was to take out more track, and one was to take out less track. And we went with the one that takes out less track so that we wouldn't disturb the Polar Express and the other tourism operations of Catskill Mountain Railroad. And then I specifically put the 300 feet in as a reiteration of my commitment to this body that you can make the determination on the 300 feet. If you think I've somehow usurped that, you can shut me down when I come to construct this thing. Why would I wouldn't imperil a project this important for 300 feet of anything, except for, you know, that wouldn't create an immediate hazard. You know, look, we'll deal with it. If you want to leave the 300 feet, if that's what all of this is about, I'll give you 300 feet right now. Honestly, I tried to make a compromise with the railroad the last time they were in at a track committee meeting. They said, well, we need places to put these three trains. I said, we'll give you a siding to do that. We'll give you as much track as we need. I'm just trying to clear a sight line here. If you don't want to build the trail, I mean, you can kill any project based on reading into the nth degree of any detail.
Yeah.
And
okay,
it's
Chris.
I just need to clarify something, okay?
Please. One more time.
Not my intention to kill the trail. I'm very much in favor of this trail. The only point I bring up is this corridor, this project is 8/10 of a mile long. The only thing your alternatives speak about, the alternatives for this project, is the last 1,100 feet. The eminent domain property is acquiring 11 pieces of property, only maybe one that is in this 1,100 feet. The other 10 pieces of property are more towards town, more towards the thing. That's why I don't think your alternates are worded properly. Your alternates only deal with the last 1,100 feet of the project.
Okay, let's
it doesn't
listen.
Talk about the
are
other 7/10 of a mile.
I'm going to ask Legislator Litz, are you going to propose an amendment to this resolution to correct the deficiencies you perceive?
Why don't you add that alignment and then we both get what we need here.
I thought if we could reword the alternatives,
well,
then
do you have a proposal how you'd like to reword it?
You want me to do it right now?
Well, we kind of have to because we need to, right? Well, I mean, we can't.
I would offer, can I offer the following,
mm-hmm.
just to make it simple? Legislator Litz, what if on alternative A, we simply say that alternative A, this alternative would use the existing alignment between Westbrook Lane and I-587 to construct the trail on the existing rail bed. And you can strike that whole first sentence, right? So that would be on the rail bed. And then for alternative B, I would say this alternative would have this alternative has the trail deviate from the alignment of the existing rail bed for between 800 and 1100 feet between Westbrook Lane and I-587 underpass. And then we get around this track thing. I'm not trying to say we're pulling 300 feet of track. I'm glad to do that.
I think the way it should be worded is to state exactly what the project is. This project is to convert approximately 0.8 mile segment of the county-owned Ulster and Delaware Railroad of right-of-way into a rail trail urban linear park from Cornell Street to Westbrook Lane in the city of Kingston. The null alternative would stay the same. Alternative A would say that it is going to convert and state that the last 1,100 feet in this alternate would be on the existing rail. Alternate B would be the same as alternate A, with the exception that the proposed trail would deviate from the existing alignment to the alignment of the temporary trail that exists there today.
I'm lost.
Yeah.
So I would just say the purpose of the rewriting. If what is written there will satisfy DOT, then I think we should go with what satisfies DOT. As much better as whatever you're proposing would make it.
Maybe we should
to your reading. This made sense to me the first time reading through. And if it satisfies DOT, then we should just go with it.
And I would just note, too, like, I'm amenable. If you all need to change, if you want to change it, it's up to you. You change it. And then if we get challenged, then that changes something.
Well, on to tonight, there's nothing to change. It passes, which has been a problem in the past. We're always trying to go backwards and change things that we passed because we didn't get it right in the first place.
So are you proposing this?
Did anybody take the wording down?
Let me just suggest one thing. What Deputy White offered fits better with the design documents, which is part of what is needed by DOT. So if we accept his additions, which were much simpler, then I think we leave the design documents and this in better accord. We don't have to try to write a lot of stuff on the fly as you were doing. And it does go towards what you were saying.
Legislator Archer, please.
I'm just very concerned. If in fact this was written in a way of preserving what we're doing from an eminent domain, explaining and meeting the federal requirements to explain why we chose what we chose and why we're doing it in this location, and there's the caveat in here that that no track will be removed without legislative approval. I am unclear why we need to make this change. Really, I'm struggling here. I heard what you said.
And where I'm struggling is,
okay,
you just tied all of that to removal of track. You do
the fact of track has
nothing to do with taking someone's property.
If
whether we take track or we don't take
but
track.
But if you look at the beginning of that section, Section 2, which says we need to comply and be able to explain what we're doing and why we chose the location we did and why it's important to get this land, which is what we're trying to accomplish, that's what it's explaining.
You read the literal, read those alternatives literally and tell me what it says. It says, 1,000 feet of track or 1,100 feet of track removed in alternate A, 800 feet to remain, 300 feet to be removed under alternate B, and that has nothing to do with acquiring the land. Matter of fact, where that track is coming up, is not even on 10 pieces of the parcel.
Deputy White, please, one more time. Then we're going to have to move this along.
I would offer on alternative A, strike the first line and replace it with the following. This alternative would utilize the existing Ulster and Delaware Railroad right-of-way from I-587 to Westbrook Lane. And then you continue on with what's there. This alternative meets the public purposes of the project, but was rejected because it wouldn't allow tourism railroad passengers to load at the eastern end of the Kingston Plaza. Would you be okay with that, Legislator Litz?
Yeah, it doesn't talk about tracks.
So that I think is fine because it doesn't. I'm not trying to describe what track comes up here. That was a reference primarily to alignment and where the trail goes. Then for alternative B, I would offer this, please. This alternative would deviate from the Ulster and Delaware Railroad corridor and follow the interim trail to the south of that corridor for a distance of 800 to 1,100 feet between Westbrook Lane and I-587 underpass. And then I would leave, so that strikes the first sentence, and then I would say this alternative meets the public purposes of the project and was determined to be the preferred alternative. And then I'm glad to either leave in or not leave in. The project may reduce or eliminate the 300 remaining feet of track based on future legislative determinations. I put that in to try to make you happy because I know that you're looking for better transparency in these resolutions, and I made my best attempt to try to do that.
And we'll get to that last 300 feet of track or whatever track,
exactly.
But it has nothing to do with the eminent domain project.
So, Legislator Litz, the amendments Deputy White just described or read, would they be acceptable to you?
Right, they're fine with me. The only element that's missing is the first sentence should say that this project it's 8/10 of a mile long, and the alternatives only talk about the last 1,100 feet. So you should say that this project is 8/10 of a mile, and I had the wording because I took it out of the design report.
And that could be in the paragraph as well. The proposed public project is where it talks about is located. You say the proposed project is 8/10 of a mile long, located in the city of Kingston, extending from Westbrook Lane by Kingston Plaza to Cornell Street, Midtown Kingston. I mean, the only thing that's missing in that sentence is the length of the project.
And that is actually in your whereas.
I agree, and it needs to be in the resolve because the whereases are just fluff, and the resolve is the law.
Right. The other thing to keep in mind is from eminent domain procedure law, the determination and findings that you're doing, this is like a synopsis of them, but all of those materials that Nettie has and that she circulated to you form the official record of that public hearing and of your determination and finding. Mm-hmm. So it's not like if somebody wants to really read this and challenge this, they have everything they need. They have the maps that show precisely what we're talking about. They know it's 0.8 miles. You know, there are two properties along this 1,100 miles that need to have the title cleared on them. It's not just one. And they're the largest properties. So it's really germane to eminent domain.
So there would be those three amendments.
Legislator Dolan.
Thank you. The three amendments would be in the paragraph that begins the Roman numeral to that the proposed public project would be inserted is 0.8 miles long and is located in, and that would continue on. And the second amendment would be an alternative A, as stated by Deputy White, and also so the first sentence of alternative B as stated by Randy White. So we need one of the sponsors to offer those amendments.
Actually, Dennis, that was a very good idea.
Pardon me?
If you would have referred to the design report, none of this discussion would have happened.
But this would fix it.
My issue is, everything you have to resolve is law. Everything before is fluff. So
I'll make a motion to... Legislator Rodriguez, you had something?
Just for advocation, both for legislators here, but also anybody listening at home. So through the chair to the deputy director. So the alternatives are provided because you're required to provide alternatives, correct? That's partly why we actually have this to begin with.
Yeah, on a DOT project, as legislator Lips noted, you always have at least two alternatives.
We covered that. Thank you.
A null alternative and a build alternative. Mm-hmm. And then if you have different alignments, you can talk about those different alternatives. The primary reason we listed those is as an alternative, I mean, they're so minor, you could probably say they're not an alternative, but we put them out there for full disclosure that one of these pulls the tracks that the CMRR uses to load passengers and the other doesn't, and we chose the one that didn't. So there shouldn't, you know, be as much impact on them.
Thank you, Chris. I'm going to see if I can move this along. I'll make a motion to amend resolution 539 as described. Is there a second?
Second.
I think I beat you by
that.
Okay, can we take a vote on these amendments, please?
On the amendment?
All the amendments. Any discussion on the amendment first, but I think we got through a lot of that.
Yeah.
Can we call for a vote on the amendment, please? All those in favor of the amendments?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passed unanimously. Now on to the resolution. Resolution 539 as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Passed unanimously. So, great.
And Nettie, if any of that didn't come out, I'm glad to work with you tomorrow to try to...
Okay, thank you.
We definitely appreciate that. Resolution 540, amending capital project 479, Ulster County, Midtown Linear Park, PIN number 8761.82, authorizing the Ulster County Executive to execute agreements, certifications, and reimbursement requests for federal aid on behalf of Ulster County with the New York State Department of Transportation for funding right-of-way acquisition, amending the 2019 Capital Fund Budget, Department of Planning.
I'll move it.
Moved. Any second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Chris?
Here I
open my mouth.
Question?
Yeah, that would be better.
There you are.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming, Chris.
I'm afraid to say
questions? Any discussion by legislators?
No. It's very well done.
Okay.
Not a mention of rail in
here. I'm going to call for a vote. Resolution 540, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Passed unanimously. Okay, that shifts our... thank you for keeping up with our shifting agenda here. We're going to move right to the top of the agenda. Resolution 415, establishing program administration for the Ulster County Revolving Loan Fund Committee. Is there a motion? You're making a motion?
No, well, if I may, if you don't mind recognizing me.
Oh, I'll recognize you. Hector, I know you.
So, he just left. I'm willing to withdraw Resolution 415. However, for this legislature, this is something that, I mean, hopefully Dennis will hear this, or
you need Dennis for this.
I mean, it's fine.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, this committee was only informed about a federal rescission that happened on April 1st because this resolution was introduced in September. And that information by the director was not shared with either the chair of the committee, the chair of the revolving loan fund, the deputy chair of the committee, the deputy chair of the revolving loan fund, nor the chair of the legislature. And when we aren't being provided with the information by our own planning director, again, the planning director is one of the few positions that actually does have
some sort of dual and multiple royalties. Like, it's important for this legislature to be informed. But at this time, Mr. Chair, I'm willing to withdraw Resolution 415.
Second.
Noted. Thank you.
She's
so Resolution 415 has been withdrawn.
Second that.
Okay. Go on to our last resolution for the night. Resolution 522, adopting proposed local law number 13 of 2019, a local law requiring that property owners of multifamily dwellings located in Ulster County with more than 20 units have an office in Ulster County. Can I get a motion? Any motions?
Second.
Okay, discussion. Legislative list.
Oh, Laura,
no, it's okay.
Well, I was going to suggest that we postpone this because we haven't had the public hearing. The public hearing's next Tuesday.
Yeah.
On several occasions, we've passed resolutions similar to this, the dog law, some of the other ones, that once we had the public hearing, we went back and changed the law. I think we should hear from the public so that we can make this resolution comprehensive and include any and all discussion necessary.
Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you please remind me, I don't actually have the document in front of me, when is the public hearing scheduled?
December 10th.
Okay, so it's before our final meeting on the 18th. Mr. Chair, obviously the sponsor of the resolution is here, but if I may then recommend that this committee meet as a, I don't mind postponing, to Mr. Litz's point, those are all fair points. If we actually hold a committee meeting after the public hearing on December 10th, that way we then can facilitate the resolution.
Is there anything else on the legislative calendar that night that would?
Well, we have to check what we can meet. I mean, at the suggested time, but we might have to change.
It may be. I mean, look again at the
Nettie would have
the chair
to check
of the committee,
tomorrow.
But basically, just making that suggestion so that way we can move this forward.
So I'll make a motion that we postpone it to our special meeting.
I'll second that.
To the chair, to the sponsor, is that amenable?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to put it off too long. I think waiting until February, which we'll probably have our next meetings, is way too long.
Which is why I'm suggesting a special meeting, so that way it does get done this
that's
year.
Agreeable to this committee.
Yeah, before we have caucus and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's fine.
Because everybody's here.
All right.
So, then on to new business. So, this will not be the final meeting of this committee, so I'll postpone what I have to say until that time. Since it's so late, I think we'll move on. So, is there any new or old business anyone has, wants to bring up? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. All in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
We're adjourned.
I thought it was like a church question. I know.